Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And we are back. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another edition of the Scott Lewis Podcast. I am your host, Scott Lewis, man. This is episode 4. Calling this one Oktoberfest. Calling this one Oktoberfest because we are in the best year. Not the best year. Best month of the year. Excuse me for coughing real quick, but you know what happened. Anyway. best month of the year. Not just because my birthday is in about 3 weeks, but it's because it's the best sports month of the year. Every sport possible that you can imagine is on. The NFL is in full swing. College football is in full swing. If you're a WNBA fan, WNBA Finals is on right now. If you're a footy fan, you know, all of the different soccer leagues are going on right now. Even though we're in a national break right now, and I'll get into that bullshit later in the episode. NBA is going to be back in 2 weeks. The NHL is going to be back in 2 weeks. You got playoff baseball going on right now. So if you're a sports fan, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, especially if you're watching and listen to this. I don't know why you listen to or watch my dumb ass if you're not a sports fan. So we're going to be talking a lot about that, man. I just want to start off by saying, first of all, if you're new, shout out to you. Obviously, if you watch this, you are a subscriber of either the Patreon or my YouTube channel, or both. And if you were new to this, and maybe this video got into your algorithm, please follow your boy at BarbChairScott on all social media platforms. You can see right there my name. That is all my social media platforms. Follow me on there. And follow the YouTube channel, because if you're watching this on YouTube, that means you're watching it from my channel. So you see the little button right there in the corner? Press subscribe, like, leave a comment, share, tell your friends, do all of that, because we're going to need that to continue to grow this platform, man. We are at like 368 subscribers. I know that doesn't sound like a big number, but we're starting this from the ground up. I started this YouTube channel back in June, so I'm trying to work on more exclusive content just for this channel, because obviously we do I'm Not Gonna Hold You up on HMB Media. We do 79th and Hallis over on the Barbershare YouTube, so I'm trying to think more Scott Lewis eccentric only content for this page. If you got any ideas or any things you want me to do, leave in the comments, man. So if you are a Patreon subscriber, and if you're not, you can subscribe right now. The link is in the description box. And you can also scan the QR code up on the screen in order to get this episode a day early. Subscribe to the $10 Barber's Chair All Access fee to get this. So if you're watching this on Monday, I appreciate your support for being a subscriber to the Patreon. If not, and you still need a little more proof why you need to subscribe, I appreciate you for watching this on Tuesday morning here on the YouTube channel, man. But the new schedule, when I first started this podcast during the summer, it was just to, you know, to have summer content, since there's really not really much sports on. I'm Not Gonna Hold You takes a break. Excuse me again. It was kind of stuffy right now. But and I've been talking for the last 2.5 hours with I'm Not Gonna Hold You, so pardon me. But this is just something to kind of make side content, but I want to do more of this. So starting this week, the Scott Lewis Pod will be dropping weekly. We'll be dropping weekly. Mondays on the Patreon, Tuesday on the YouTube, and all of our podcast feeds at the Barber's Chair. So if you're new here, basically, if you want to know what's the difference between this and I'm Not Gonna Hold You and 79th and Hallis, I'll pretty much talk about anything under the sun on this podcast, whatever is on my mind at a particular moment. So today we're going to be talking about my trip to Ohio State. We're going to be talking about some MLB playoffs. We're going to be talking about a little bit about the NFL. We're going to talk about some soccer. And also, I want to start kind of with a political thing to say. And I don't really want to get too heavy on politics. And honestly, I don't care about that. Fuck that. I'm going to say it because I don't like that we do this thing where it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about politics. You either going to do politics or politics are going to do you. My nigga, that's where it's at this particular point. And right now, we are living through very unprecedented times. And I hate when people say, oh, we've been through this before. Look, man, I know nothing is new under the sun, but this type of shit we're seeing right now is under the sun. I don't want to get too deep on it, but what I do want to say is to Black people, my Black people more specifically, like I've been saying, like a lot of people with actual brains have been saying, this ICE issue is not just a immigrant issue. As we've been seeing in Chicago these last 2 weeks, we've been seeing around the world, around the states lately, these men don't care. They're just picking people out their cars, no matter what race you are, throwing you in cars, and who God knows who know where they're taking them. Because I kind of don't feel like all these people are just getting deported. And I also don't feel like a lot of these people doing these kidnappings, let's just call it what it is, or abductions, are actual, all of them are ICE agents. Some of these are white supremacists living out their racist dreams and using that as a point. So I just want to say, keep your head on the swivel. And also to my Black folks out there who don't realize what's going on, wake up. Wake up, because what you got to understand, if they're going to do this to other people, they're just looking for any reason to do it for us. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter where you are on the globe. Black people, we are the most hated. That just is what it is. Especially people in Chicago, man, keep the head up. ICE is out here. Allegedly, our ho-ass president is sending the National Guard out here. So keep your head on the swivel, man. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But let's move on to more positive stuff. So weekend's over. I had a very eventful weekend. As you can see, I got my Ohio State cap on, dad hat. By the way, I never thought I would wear dad hats until a couple years ago. Then I turned my 30s, and that's what happens when you get washed. You start wearing dad hats. But visited Ohio State, went to my first ever college football game. And, man, I had a great time. It was Ohio State versus Minnesota. Did not know this was the Ohio State homecoming. Did not know that. It was a lot of people there. It was packed to the brim. I saw Ohio State legend and former NBA player Michael Redd. He was in the building. I'm pretty sure there was a lot of others as well. They were shouting out all the different national champion teams that they had. But the number one thing I took away from this weekend is, if you know about me, if you don't know, I went to Columbia College in downtown Chicago for my schooling for 5 years. From class of 2012. I was there from 2007 to 2012. I did 5 years because I just didn't want to overload myself on credits the first year or two. And so that's why I was there about a year longer. But I just realized this weekend that Columbia robbed me of an actual college experience, like an actual college campus experience. What I saw this weekend, it just looked like all the stuff you see in like college movies. Like, you know, people were, you know, doing tailgating all through the city. You know, saw these little frat houses, people having parties out there. It looked like every Seth Rogen movie ever. But the vibe was real, real crazy out there, real fun. Everybody was having a great time. And I was like, damn, I kind of missed this as a teenager, late teenager, young adult stage. Because Columbia College, for anybody who didn't go there or anybody who don't know about Columbia College, it's not really college. It's kind of like a 4 to 5 year internship that really gives you a spotlight into what it's like working in the entertainment industry, whether it's music, whether it's overall arts, whether it's movies, TV, whatever. It's what it does. If you're trying to go, if you actually want to go to college, you want to learn about those things, you learn a lot over there. Now, a lot of stuff I learned at Columbia is outdated, because you got to understand, when I was there, it was 2007, 2012. The entertainment industry is nothing like it was in 2012. Shit, the entertainment industry is nothing like it was in 2020. So just so much stuff happens. A lot of stuff I did learn about the industry was on the job and just being in these situations and dealing with it myself. But there was also stuff that I learned that I had to learn there. I learned about publishing. I learned about marketing. I learned about things like that at its core, it doesn't really change that much, no matter what era you're in. And more importantly is the people that I met at Columbia, that really people I still work with today in my businesses. So that's the one thing I did get from that. So it prepared me for work. But as far as just having fun as a college student, I didn't have that. And it's not just me. I have a couple of friends who went to Columbia, some who graduated, and the experience just wasn't the same. But I had a great time at Ohio State. It was fun. There was a lot of nice people there. It was hot as hell. You know, everybody who is enjoying, it was 95 degrees in Columbus, Ohio in October. I know all that sounds cool until we're having 90 degree Christmases in the Midwest. And then we're going to be like, we should have all listened to Al Gore when he was yelling at us 26, 27 years ago talking about global warming. So that is not funny. In fact, I don't remember last time it's been cold in Chicago for Christmas. I think last year was like 65 on Christmas. The year before that, it was the same thing. I think maybe 2018 was the last freezing Christmas I can remember in Chicago. It's been a while. Even the last couple times I've been in New York, has been like in December, November. And it has not really been cold, bro. It's been like jacket weather. So that is not, that's kind of scary when you think about it. But had a great time. Ohio State blew the doors off of Minnesota to the point where me and my brother left in the third quarter. Great atmosphere. And it is smoking the NFL atmosphere wise. It's not even remotely close. NFL atmosphere is a lot more corporate. It feels like you're in a church sometimes, especially in the press box. Like you even talk any type of loud in a press box in the NFL, they look at you crazy. And it's much different compared to the NBA. Because I covered the Clippers football 3 to 4 seasons, and people talked in the press box in the NBA, not in the NFL. But college football just live. It was awesome. I had a great time. And the Ohio State are number one in AP polls once again. Jeremiah Smith, best player in college football, in my opinion. Caleb Downs. It was just an amazing time. I had a great time. Spent way too much money in the merchandise shop. Shout out to the bars over there. We went to a couple of them. They were showing love. In fact, one of the bartenders in one of the spots gave us them beer coasters. Kind of cool beer coasters. I thought was fine. We kicked it for a couple hours, watched games until over that. So only thing I didn't like about the trip was driving through, like coming back. Well, actually going to Columbus and coming back from Columbus was a lot of highways were cut off for whatever reason. So we had to go through like cornfields, bro, and like sundown townish type vibes. But there's little to no light. Like it felt like I was driving through the cornfield at the beginning of Man of Steel, where Kevin Costner, the dumbass, don't do any further, son, held it to Clark Kent, or look like the house from Get Out. Very, very, very creepy, especially if you're a black man driving through these parts. So I was driving like Dom Toretto through sundown towns on the way back from Columbus. But outside of that, I had a really, really good time. Shout out to all those people down there. And, everybody asked me, how did you, weren't you rooting for the University of Miami? This thing you got to learn about me. For the same reason I just named, I did not go to a big college. I went to a performing arts college. We did not have any sports teams. We did not have any fraternities. We did not have any sororities. We didn't have anything that makes college fun. Okay. That was that was a 5-year internship that I had. So, no, I didn't have any attachment to any football teams to root for them. And I only like fake rooted for the Miami because I like the U documentary. Like I didn't have any attachment to them. So my brother's a diehard Ohio State fan. So I was just like, fuck it. I root for Ohio State. Not this weekend. I'm sold. That's my team. So that's what it is right there, man. But I had a good time. Let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about the MLB playoffs. The division round began this weekend in the MLB, you got teams that are left. You got the Brewers and the Cubs left. You got the Dodgers and the Phillies left in the NL. You got the Tigers and you got the Mariners left in the AL. You've also got the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, as this stands, now if you're watching this on Patreon, I'll be kind of previewing the games for the night. And if you're watching this on YouTube on Tuesday, those games are already over. And who knows who won? So whatever I said might be null and void by this time you're watching this if you're not a Patreon subscriber. But I want to start with the Mariners-Tigers one because this is an interesting series to me for a number of reasons. One, the Tigers and their little rebuild they've been doing the last couple of years getting to this point. Just the crazy month and a half they've had, man. Like, having a 15-point lead in the AL Central, and that lead just completely evaporating to the point where they jacked it. They lost the division to Cleveland. Cleveland won the division, and a lot of people thinking, oh, this is the worst collapse ever. You know, people got a heads got to get fired. How the heads got to roll? Should AJ Hinch keep his job anymore? And the way they bounced back from that, one, clinching the playoffs before the last day of the season, and then knocking out Cleveland. You know, they're battling Cleveland for 6 weeks, and they have a playoff series, a time to make up for the wrongs that they had these first, you know, these last 6 weeks, and beat them in the playoffs. And now they're up 1-0 on the Mariners. Probably could have been up 2-0. Probably could have been up 2-0 if it wasn't for that late hit yesterday by Julio Rodriguez. But I think the Tigers right now are right where they want to be. Tigers right where they want to be against a team that, you know, is both teams have low experience, but the Tigers were also in the playoffs last year. So if you care about the experience factor, they have a little bit more than the Mariners do. You always want to win your road game. So now they're 1-1 with a chance to go to Detroit, Michigan to close it out at Comerica Park in front of those great hometown fans out there. Detroit, to me, is a very underrated sports city. I know it's going to be loud up, and they're one of the best atmospheres in the MLB. And if you're Seattle, man, the reason why I like it is two young teams going at it. Seattle, you know, yes, there was a big moment for them. It was their first home playoff win in 24 years, October 2001. And I'm going to be 37 in a couple of weeks. Last time they won a playoff game, I was 12 years old. This was like not even a month after 9/11. That's how damn long ago it was. Jay-Z had the number one album in the country with the Blueprint. Michael Jackson's comeback album was like a month away from coming out. That's how long ago this was. And, you know, that team was the King Griffey Jr. I think Edgar Martinez was on that team. There was a lot of people on that team. And what you're seeing from them yesterday was they have a great fans in Seattle, just in general. We all remember the Legion of Boom days with the Seattle Seahawks and the 12th man and how great that fan base was. The Seattle Supersonics, them getting their team taken away to me is one of the biggest travesties in the history of sports, especially the NBA. And they need to bring a team back there because those fans are great. And you're seeing the same thing with the Mariners. They had this video they showed in the crowd of this Mariner fan who was crying tears of joy after they blew a 2-0 lead to Detroit in game two. And then Julio Rodriguez hit the go-ahead double that scored Cal Raleigh in there to give them the lead. He was just crying tears of joy. And his girlfriend or his wife, whoever, took his glasses off, wiped his tears, and hugged him. And I was like, that's a good woman right there, brother. Find you one like that who knows how much you've been. You could tell he was a long-standing Mariner fan who's just been through it. You know what I'm saying? Find you one who, that's going to be me when the Bears actually do something. I'm going to be crying tears of joy. So that was great to see. From a baseball perspective, man, the Mariners had the number two record in the AL. And Julio Rodriguez, you know, I got to give it to Julio because you got a lot of these young players who are great in the regular season. It doesn't really translate to the postseason. Postseason is a different beast. And you look at some of the all-time greats. Alex Rodriguez was terrible in the playoffs until 2009 when they eventually won a World Series with the Yankees. And he was a big part of that. Those big hits he had in the division series against the Minnesota Twins, the big hits he had in the ALCS, his big home run he had, and I think it was game four of the World Series against Philly. That's when it broke out. Aaron Judge, he's been decent so far this year, but for the most part, Aaron Judge in October has been nothing like Aaron Judge in the regular season. So it's very hard to translate that sometimes. And to have a kid like Julio Rodriguez, it's like there was no growing pain. He just comes out killing it. Big hits in game one, even though they lost. Big hit yesterday after blowing a 2-0 lead, which you had control of most of that game, coming in with a big double to give him the lead. That's been awesome to see. And I love watching Julio. He's one of the best players in Major League Baseball. We didn't get to make any predictions because we really weren't talking about it. I'm not going to hold you. I still think the Mariners should win this series, but I do think they messed up by letting the Tigers win game one. And even though the Tigers lost yesterday, I feel like the Tigers have been the better team these first two games, and now they're going to go home. A crowd that is thirsty to root for this team. A crowd that, you know, is now behind this team after the worst month, after the tough month and a half they've had. So I feel this puts them in a bad position. So from that's why game three on Tuesday is paramount for the Mariners to win. If they don't win game three, they're not winning this series, in my opinion. So they need to win this one more than anything. But I think it's a fun series, and you've been seeing the growth of the Major League Baseball this year, where they're really marketing their talent well. There's never been a talent deficit in Major League Baseball these last couple of years. It's just been a lack of marketing. And I feel like they've done a really, really good job of that, spotlighting the young stars and spotlighting even some of the bigger stars and giving them that platform. And that's why you see the attendance numbers have gone up. The ratings have gone up across the league. And I think when this is all said and done, this is going to be one of the biggest rated playoffs coming off last year's World Series, which was the biggest World Series. Now, granted, you had the two biggest markets in not just sports, but in media, period, New York, Los Angeles, two of the most iconic teams in Major League history, Yankees and Dodgers. But they've been following that off right well. So this has been a real, real fun series that I'm going to give the slight edge to Detroit right now. But Seattle got to win that game. Got to win game three. Speaking of the New York Yankees, let's talk about the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees are currently down 2-0. They are a game away from elimination at the hands of division rival, the number one seed and the AL East champion, Toronto Blue Jays. It's the first time Toronto has won their division in about 10 years. I think 2015, 2016 was the last time they won. You know, that Jose Bautista-led team over there that was really, really good. But this team, man, we talk about the rebuilds we've seen in the last couple of years, and this is another one that's really, really been doing good. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. I remember watching his daddy with the Expos and then eventually the Angels, and he just looks just as good as him, maybe even better than his pops did. And this has just been flat-out domination by this Blue Jays lineup these first two games. Game one winning 10-1. Yesterday, just completely blowing the top off of them as well. And that monster grand slam by the Blue Jays. Even though the Blue Jays only have to win one more game, I do not think this series is over. You head back to New York. It's a veteran team in New York. The Blue Jays, as good as this team are, we keep talking about experience. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about experience, but it's true, especially in the playoffs, especially against a team that is as trained and experience as the Yankees, not just as an organization, as a ball club, but this particular team. This team are the reigning AL champions. They know what it takes to get to the World Series. And you have a lot of things going for their favor. And you know how things go when you go to New York. I know it's not the old Yankee Stadium where they used to say the ghosts come alive and things like that, but that is one of the best crowds in Major League Baseball. And I think they're going to come with it. Would not surprise me if we're back in Toronto by the end of this week for a game five. I do not think it's over yet. And I think at the end of the game, you know, it was a blowout. It got kind of closer to the end. I really like how that Yankees bullpen played the last couple innings of that and didn't really give up any more runs after that George Springer home run. So it's a very, obviously, there's no grounds to mess up because one loss, you're out of here. But I do not think it's over yet. But the Yankees need to, the pitching needs to do better. That's just what it is. The pitching needs to do better. Aaron Boone needs to be smarter. You talk about coaches who just beat up. First of all, Brian Cashman's still a general manager. And I don't feel like general managers should be a team for 25-plus years. I think he got hired as Yankees GM in like 1998, 1999. Like he worked on Derek Jeter's first big contract. Derek Jeter's been retired for 10 years. That's how long he's been there. It's been too long. And they need to get rid of Aaron Boone. I don't really think anything short of a World Series championship, and I'll be real, even if they won a World Series, I may tell him, Aaron, thank you for the contributions. It's time for you to go. I don't think he's a good manager at all. He makes too many boneheaded decisions. He switches that lineup way too much. Keep it simple, stupid, and that's what you need to do. Put your best lineup out there and let that crowd get behind you. Now, the starters, they got them trying to see if the pitching matchups have been announced yet. Probably not because the game is Tuesday, but I think it's going to be Carlos Rodon pitching. Let's see. Yeah, so the pitching matchup. So it's going to be Carlos Rodon versus Shane Bieber. This, to me, spells shootout. as a White Sox fan, I know Carlos Rodon can look really, really great 1 minute, really, really bad the next minute. It's all about whether or not he has control. Shane Bieber is not the lights out pitcher that he used to be with the Cleveland Guardians. And I think there's an opportunity right here for the Yankees to really have a good offensive night against them. So that's me. Just put out a strong lineup via Aaron Boone, and you're going to really need Carlos Rodon to pitch like his life is on the line. But I'm not ready to throw dirt on the Yankees yet. I'm not there yet. Obviously, it's winner go home for them. And I think that – I'm just going to say it. I think it goes to game five. I don't think the Yankees are done yet. So, we'll see. We'll talk about another team, man. I was talking about on – I'm not going to hold you today. We're talking about teams that it's now or never when it comes to when are you going to win or not. And I was talking about the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens on I'm not going to hold you. Today, I'm going to talk about the Philadelphia Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies have, usually for the most part, over the last 16 years, since those Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Cole, who's my man, the pitcher, his name is escaping me, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee, them teams, they've always kind of been in it. And then when they signed Bryce Harper 6 years ago, which is crazy, it was that long ago. 6 years ago. Everything pre-pandemic just feels like 400 years ago. you know what I'm saying? And, you know, how close they've been. They made it to the World Series a couple years ago. Lost to the Houston Astros. You know, they've been to a couple of NLCSs and haven't got the job done. This is a great team to have. You know, Bryce Harper, still Bryce Harper. You know, Kyle Schwarber is one of two people from that 2016 Cubs team who's actually still doing their thing, him and Javi Baez. And even Javi had a very, very rough stretch there for a minute before his revival in Detroit. It's now or never for them. Now or never for them. The way they lost game one was, you can't do that at home, man. Can't do that at home. Up 3-0. You had Ohtani on the ropes pitching wise. You had Ohtani on the ropes, period. Not just pitching wise. I think he struck out like 4 times on Saturday. So you cannot lose a game like that. But that also goes back to experience, what I was just saying. And, you know, the Dodgers were in this position just a couple years ago. Okay, Dave Roberts, you're going to fire him. When are you going to get over the hump? Getting over the hump of the team is a very important thing, and also probably the most nerve-wracking thing as a fan. And I think that's what we're going through right now in the Premier League with Arsenal fans, and I'll get into that later, where when you're a team that's on the rise and, you know, you're just now getting into a title race, it's fun. Because there's really no expectations. When expectations hit, that's when it's not so fun, okay? And that's when you decide, when you have to decide it's time to either shit or get off the pot. The Dodgers eventually got off the pot. Now, 2020, they won. Nobody gave them credit. It was pandemic year, Mickey Mouse title, fair play. But then last year, they did what they had to do, and they won the World Series for the second time. So now it's like, oh, you can't say nothing about 2020. Because now we actually did it with holes in the seat. So that's how I look at it. So Philly has to do it this time. Yeah, they lost one of their best pitchers. They lost Zach Wheeler for the season. But you still got 2 to 3 other arms in there. Two of them are Cy Young candidates who should be able to win this game, win this series. It's now or never. Now, we do know the Dodgers, you know, I root for the Dodgers when the White Sox aren't in it because Los Angeles is my second home. 10 years as a resident of that beautiful city. So when the White Sox aren't in it, which is every year to this point, I want the Dodgers to win the World Series. I'm speaking with a little bias here. But we do know that the Dodgers have a little trick off in them. That bozo gene, regardless of the ring on their fingers, is still there. So if you're Philly, you want to take advantage of that. They cannot lose this game tonight. They just can absolutely not lose this game tonight. But I don't feel that confident that they're going to win. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Because, you know, they did have control of game two. And they got Jesus Luzardo on the mound for them today. You know, he's 8-2 at home, 4.16 ERA at home. He's a pretty decent pitcher. But you got Blake Snell on the mound for the Dodgers. And Blake Snell had a really good game one against the Cincinnati Reds. He's been a pitcher the last couple of years. He's been really, really good when he's healthy. So you're in the danger zone right here. And I don't want to say that Dodger Stadium is a fortress because there have been a lot of laughable playoff losses at Dodger Stadium for the Dodgers. But you don't want to go to Chavez Ravine with your season online, brother. You just don't want to do it. And Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, is not going 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts ever again. And I think the thing about the Dodgers is a lot of people didn't want to give them the credit this year because of the rough regular season that they had. But this lineup, front to back, 1 through 9, in my opinion, is probably still the best lineup in baseball. When you've got Shohei Ohtani leading off, when you've got Mookie Betts, when you've got Freddie Freeman, those are 3 MVPs there. 3 World Series champions. Mookie Betts is the only active player with 3 World Series championships. And you got guys like Teoscar Hernandez, big home run in game 1. You got October Kike Hernandez, which is, he's like Mr. October for the Dodgers now. They have not lost a game when he scores a run.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be.
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
In the playoffs, you just got these other guys. You got your Tommy. He comes through, wins the game. They're just a very unstoppable lineup that will put fear in any pitching rotations eyes, man. And I think right now they're going to try to go for the kill. Having said all of that, I do believe Philly finds a way to win, just because what we've seen from the Dodgers outside of last year's World Series, when it's time to put a nail in the coffin, they kind of struggle with it. Like, I feel like they let the body out the casket for a little bit, and they spar with them for a little bit before eventually knocking them out. So I do think that'll happen today, but you need a big game from your guns. You need Kyle Schwarber to bounce back. You need Lazardo to have a great game pitching. You need a bullpen to step up. You need Bryce Harper to be Bryce Harper. You know, you need Nick Castellanos to get home runs. You can text your friends, hey, man, you good? Because, you know, national tragedies always happen when he has a home run. So that's what I need to see from the Phillies tonight. So I want to close this baseball portion out talking about the Chicago Cubs. I want to explain my Chicago Cubs hate. Because I saw a couple people say, oh, if you're a White Sox fan, you shouldn't be rooting against the Cubs when it comes to Wisconsin teams. First of all, I don't care about the state of Wisconsin. I don't care about Wisconsin teams outside of Green Bay Packers. I could not care less about the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't personally have a problem with the Chicago Cubs, the team. They are not the White Sox rival, in my opinion. I know a lot of people will agree with me. Oh, cross-town rivals. That's a rival between the fans. I really don't think the players care. Crosstown has not had a vibe in a long time. I'm trying to remember the last time. I think the last time it had a vibe had to be like, I don't know, 2021 maybe? Maybe 2021. I don't know. It's been a minute. But I also think part of that is the MLB scheduling. The Crosstown should only be on the weekend, man. Like, there's nothing better than going to a Crosstown game when it's a hot Chicago weekend in, like, July. Stop putting this in, like, the first week of June on a Tuesday. Like, what are we doing? But my problem with the Cubs is the Cub fans. They talk like they're the Yankees. They talk like they're the Dodgers. Like, look, have they had more recent success than the White Sox over these last 10 years, as far as making the playoffs? Yes, 100%. But let's be clear about one thing. In the last 100 years, so the last century, the White Sox and the Cubs have the same amount of pennants and the same amount of World Series championships. So let's be humble here a little bit. And I think Cubs fans talk like they're just this elite team, when you're not. You should be. You should be spending like an elite team, but you don't. Because most Chicago sports owners are cheap. So that's my issue with them, is really my beef is with the fans, not the team. Couldn't care less about the team. There's a lot of likable players on the team. In fact, the 2016 team, there's a lot of players I liked on the team. I like Anthony Rizzo. I loved Chris Bryant. Javi Baez is and was my man. Kyle Schwarber. It was having a lot of likable people on that team. That fan base is annoying. It also just represents Wrigley, the north side. It's just, ugh. Gives them my nerves. Having said all that, they got the hands of God put on them in the game. They got Shotta started tonight in game two. Lights might get low for the Cubs. Lights might get low. You know, we talk about must-win games. Obviously, it's a must-win for the Cubs because, you know, if you lose tonight, one more win, you're up out of that thing. I'm going to say this is a must-win for the Brewers more. And I say that because the Brewers are perennial bottlers. They love to choke. That's just what the Brewers do. That they are like the MLB's version of the Bills a lot of times. And so this is a must-win game for them as well today. Go to Wrigley with a 2-0 lead. Do not go to Wrigley, and you need to win one or both of those games to win the series. You know what I'm saying? Do that right away. And I'm not too sure that's going to happen, because the good thing about a blowout is you just know everything you did was wrong. When it's a close game, you look like you have a chance to steal it, you start questioning yourself more, because like, okay, if I change this little thing, we could have won. If I change this little thing, we could have won. When you just get flat out mollywop like the Cubs did the other night, you know everything was wrong. So I think they're going to come into game two with different mindset. And as much as I don't want to admit it, I do believe they will find a way to win a ball game today. And I do think this will be 1-1 heading to Wrigley Field this week. And like I said, if you watch this on Tuesday, you know what happened last night. I don't, because I'm recording this on Monday afternoon. I do not know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I look like an idiot right now. But that's how I see that playing out. Let's move on to the beloved, the Chicago Bears, man. The Bears. 2-2. Bye week over. The guys return back to Halas Hall on Tuesdays to get ready for their battle against the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, on Monday Night Football in D.C. I just got to say this. It's like a third year in a row. Ain't no like. This is the third year in a row that the Bears and Commanders have played number one, which is crazy. They're not in the same division. Why are you playing every year? And if you are going to play in this, switch up the location. All three of those games have been in D.C. So on the first two right now, they're 1-1. We all know 2 years ago, game I covered 2 years ago, when Justin Fields threw three touchdowns, him and DJ went crazy on, I think, Marcus Mariota was there. Was he still there? I know he's there now, but was he? I think Mariota was there. I don't know. And won that game. That was the last game before Montez Sweat got traded to the Bears. And then last year, we all know the Hail Mary. We ain't got to go over that again. You're going to be seeing that damn play the entire week. And they're going to put that as soon as Monday Night Football ends tonight with the Chiefs and Jaguars. That joint's going to be on loop for the next week. So, yeah. But to me, revenge should be on the menu. Revenge is a dish best served cold. And I think the Bears, this win will change so many teams, so many things. From a morale standpoint, for the guys who were here last year, that's a monkey off your back. Especially Caleb Williams and especially Tyree Stevenson. Tyree Stevenson got absolutely killed for talking to the fan while the play is about to start in the touchdown with him. You know, I personally don't really blame Tyreek for the loss. Was he part of it? 100%. I blame Matt Eberflus for the play before the Hail Mary, where you gave up 30 yards to even get the Commanders in position to win that game. That was my issue right there. So if you're the Bears, you win this game, you make up for the loss you had last year, loss that essentially ended your season. We forget the Bears were coming into a high in that game. 4-2, offense starting to click, one in London, all those good things. And then a game that you should have won. We talked about this, so I'm not going to hold you to that. Final score was 18-15. It was an ugly game, ugly, ugly game. A game that Caleb won for the Bears twice, but it did not matter because his defense failed him multiple times. And you look at the Commanders, I don't even know what to think about the Commanders yet because, yeah, they got a big win yesterday against the Chargers. But I don't really know what the team is yet. The defense is very old. They got a backup running back. That running back had a great game yesterday. But I just kind of feel like this is going to be a game we learn more about them as well. And this is also an important game for Washington. I don't want to act like it's just important for the Bears. Obviously, you want to win every game you play, but the NFC is going to be very tightly contested for those last couple playoff spots. And I do not think they're going to win the NFC East. I think this is going to be the Eagles' division, no matter what happened yesterday against Denver. But to get one of those final three wild card spots, you're going to be battling with a lot of teams. And this is where NFC tiebreakers come into play. You might be battling with the Bears to get one of those positions. So it's a very important game for them as well. But I need the Bears to think about revenge. And you also got the thing right here where, you know, Ben Johnson's coming for a little revenge as well, because the Commanders eliminated his Lions last year and really kind of, I won't say shut down, but did pretty well against his play calling. So that's going to be something, you know, Ben's a psycho. He's going to want revenge for that as well. So I really want to know how they're going to come out. I don't know how I'm going to pick this game yet. I'll see what my pick is on Thursday and Friday when we do 7 a.m. in Dallas, and I'm not going to hold you. Right now, I think it's anybody's game. I think defense. Defense has to come to play. Shut the running game down. Make Jaden think back there. Don't give Jaden all day to throw the ball. I think it's going to be a game where the leg is going to be more important than the arm. So, don't be a chess match. And if you're the Bears' offense, man, I think we need to put the pressure on them immediately. If you win the coin toss, the Bears should do what they did last week in Vegas and receive the ball as well. So we'll see how that goes. We're going to close this out these last, I want to say, 15 minutes. We'll talk a little soccer here, man. So if you are not a soccer fan, we have to like the 39-minute mark of this podcast, you can leave. If you love the sport, if you're new to it like I am, I'm like 7 months into my fandom, come listen to what I'm about to say. Now I just want to throw this little disclaimer out. I am not as knowledgeable in this sport as I am the other sports, because I've been watching baseball, basketball, and the NFL for 30 years of my life. So I have a little thing called seniority and experience, and a lot of games to draw back my knowledge from and what I'm looking at. I'm getting there with soccer. I have to say, for somebody who's only watched this sport for 7 months, and I'm not going to do the Donald Trump thing. He said, well, a lot of people are saying it. But all my homies who put me on this have told me that, oh, you're learning a lot. And if you think I'm making this up, next time we have Toast, no, he'll tell you so. But I have been in the lab since March, bro. I've been watching everything. I've been watching full games, classic games. I know everything there is. And I'll be watching tactic videos, bro. One thing I love about the sport is to the naked eye, it just looks like a simple sport. Like, dudes are just running around kicking a soccer ball, but it's not, bro. Like, from a game plan perspective, it's very close to the NFL. And you appreciate the technique of these footballers, man. It's just more than just kicking a ball around. I was talking to Pavi, and Pavi was like, oh, it's a non-contact sport. Now, yeah, I thought that too. It's the furthest thing from it. Calling football, European football, non-contact sport is bullshit. These dudes be getting their knees taken out, a lot of lower body injuries and things like that. But I just love the sport. It's my second favorite sport right now. And I think as time goes, I'm going to love it even more and more and more. So if I say anything that don't make no sense, idiotic, that you think, what are you talking about? Put it in the comments. Tell me what I'm wrong about. And not an opinion of mine. I'm not arguing an opinion with y'all. You can still put your opinion down there. I hope you put your opinion down there. I'm not arguing that, but if I got something about the game wrong, please let me know, because I am still learning the game, even though I know a lot more at – I'm way more in advanced stage than somebody who usually picks up the sport and only been watching it for 7 months. I've been following damn near every league. I watched Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A, Liga One. I even watched the Women's Super League. I be watching a lot of soccer, bro, so I think I'm pretty decent at what I'm talking about. So y'all judge me, y'all let me know. So anyway, I want to talk about my football club, which is the Arsenal Football Club right now. Siri, stop acting up. You know, Siri only work when you don't want it to work. I don't know if y'all peeped that, because I definitely peeped that. But I want to talk about Arsenal right now as we look at the Premier League standings as we head into the international break. Top of the league. Arsenal's top of the league right now with 16 points. Liverpool, they've had a rough week. They lost three in a row. I'll get one to Liverpool in a second. They're 15 points. That team that plays on the other side of North London, who I will not be naming, they're third with 14 points. Bournemouth, nice surprise to start. They're fourth with 14 points. And Man City, big win yesterday against Brentford. They are only a point out of the top four at 13. And then to round out the top 10, you got Crystal Palace with 12-6. Chelsea, kind of saved this season at Stamford Bridge on Sunday against Liverpool. They're 7 with 11 points. Everton's 8, 11 points. 9, Sunderland, 11 points. And Manchester United at 10 with 10 points right now. So what I want to say about Arsenal is there's a lot of things about Arsenal. People were coming in there and saying, oh, this first six games, man, this is going to make or break their title chase. And I did think that was a overreaction. And one thing I've learned in my short time as an Arsenal fan, we get the computers cute. We get the headlines moving. If you want to get your clicks up, if you want to talk about Arsenal, because Sky Sports, Talk Sport, all these different outlets, they rage bait Arsenal fans. I gotta be real, our fan base is very gullible and they fall into the rage bait a lot. So that's why they're gonna keep doing it, because it keeps getting clicks and impressions and stuff like that. But they some tough fixtures, opening up the season at Old Trafford against Man United. I know Man United is not a good team. They ain't been shit since Fergie left, but that's a tough place to play. A place that we ain't won in a couple seasons. You go out there, you get a dub. Set piece, Ricardo Calafiori, dub. Week two, at home against newly promoted Leeds United. That's a game you're supposed to smack them up. Assert your dominance, and that's exactly what they did. 5-0. I think you even got a Yacarez brace in that one. Won that one. Week three, very tough game at Anfield against Liverpool. Again, a lot of people was upset about. A lot of people were calling Mikel Arteta a coward, and he didn't put the right lineup out there. You know, you only play Eze 15 minutes, and you know, had Martinelli starting and Marino at the 10. I wasn't that big a fan of the lineup either. I do understand why they didn't start Eze. I mean, Eze had been an Arsenal player for maybe 10 days at the time. He was nowhere near fit. Even up to the point, he wasn't playing with Crystal Palace. So up to that point, he hadn't been playing for like 3 weeks. And then you lose off a miracle free kick. What can you really do about that? So you lose that one. Match week four. You come back to the crib, you beat Nottingham Forest real easily. Match week five. Oh, who did they play after that? Let me see, make sure I got the schedule wrong or nothing like that. But hold on as we look at this. We need to play the Japanese band. Oh, yeah, so that's what we were. So beat Nottingham Forest at the crib 3-0. And then we're not going to talk about the Champions League and the Carabao Cup, man. It's just PL games. Drew to Man City at home. Another game that Arsenal fans got mad about. Arteta's a coward because he didn't do this, da-da-da. Drew that one. Drew that with a miracle goal by Gabriel Martinelli at the end of, you know, in stoppage time. Got a big comeback win last week at St. James's Park against Newcastle, a place they never win in. And a game that they were getting screwed in that game. And then, of course, 2-0 over the weekend against West Ham. And now you're going through that tough schedule, and you're 1 point up with a lighter schedule. I don't want to say easy schedule for a couple of reasons. One is the Premier League. Anybody can get got, bro. We just saw Chelsea missing like 8 players beat the Premier League champions. It can happen. You know what I'm saying? So this is, you know, we've seen lower table teams knock off big guys all the time. And these are also the games that tripped up Arsenal the last couple of seasons. The reason they didn't win the league, because you're drawing to the West Hams, the Fulhams, the Evertons and stuff like that. So this is a chance for Arsenal to go on a run, but you also got to take it seriously at the same time, because these are games that you struggled on in the past. Now, the most annoying thing here is dealing with injury, it's like been one in, one out process. You know, you come in here. I still think, you know, this is top to bottom, probably the best side in the Premier League as far as its depth. The second 11 is probably better than a lot of starting 11s in the league. But you come in here with all these different injuries. You start with Kai Havertz, injured after the first match. He's probably not coming back till the North London Derby against the Spurs, or against the other team that played North London in November, which is around Thanksgiving time. Nani Madueke, he had a real good season so far, starting, coming in for Bukayo, who got injured. Now he's hurt. He's not scheduled to come back to around Christmas as well. And you got Pierre Hincapie, who we got from Bayern Leverkusen. He gets hurt. You know what I'm saying? So now you got to deal with that. And now you got our captain, Martin Odegaard, who just can't catch a break, man. It's his second injury. He had a shoulder injury like a month ago. Now he's dealing with an MCL. And if somebody's been a lifelong Chicago Bulls fan, that means I also have my doctorate. I also have a doctor's degree, and I can tell you about knee injuries, because as a Bulls fan doing the Derrick Rose era, you had to essentially also be a doctor. We do not know the grade of this MCL yet, and that will determine everything. If it's a grade one, he should be back very soon. I would think if it's a grade one, with the international break this week and him not playing, him withdrawing from Norway, he won't be playing. He could probably be back for the Champions League game against Atletico in about 2 weeks. That could be it. But if it's a grade two, we might not see that boy. It's around Thanksgiving time. He could be probably come back around the same time as Nani and Kai around the North London Derby, which is very annoying. I think the thing about it is it shows you just how good the depth is and how good of a offseason Andrea Berta had, and the Cronkies, the money they spent. But you're stretching the depth right now. You stretch the depth. God forbid Eze gets hurt. And then your midfield is really cooked. And then you got to start Marino there, or very young Ethan Wanyeri. As much as Arsenal fans want to see Ethan play there, Ethan's like 16. I mean, he's 18. But he's a child. Ethan can't drink liquor. So you're putting a lot on a kid in a title race. Not to say he can't do it, but it's not nothing I would be betting my money on. So you just, you know, hopefully we get these guys back in about a month, month and a half, and then we can finally get our complement of players together, because the one in, one out thing is very, very irritating. So hopefully that. And that's also why I want to talk about international break. I do not like it. It's trash to me. I get the importance, because for these footballers, they have a lot more nation pride than I think we do in America. They don't think, I know they do. You know, so their club, a lot of these players playing for their country is more important than playing for their club. As a fan of the club, I'm not from England or Spain. I don't give a shit what they're doing in the World Cup. I'm an American. America going to get slapped up if they even make the World Cup. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really care about that. But it's now you're on pins and needles for these breaks, hoping that your players don't get hurt. I mean, PSG lost Dembele doing this. You know, Kylian Mbappe has got an ankle injury right now. So I'm just hoping that Declan, Bukayo, Eze, Raya, everybody who, like, our team is so good that all these guys on their international teams. I just feel like there's a way that FIFA and UEFA can sit together and make this better. Like, maybe you start the season a little earlier, end it a little earlier than usual, so you have a good month to 6 weeks to be with your international teams every day, play these qualifying matches. I just feel like there needs to be a better way to do it, but they're making a lot of money, and you're going to have more pointless tournaments, which is going to lead to more injury. Arsenal's not the only team dealing with it. Chelsea's dealing with it. Liverpool's starting to deal with the injury bug. You know, they're out with their one of their defenders. They don't have their goalkeeper for next month. So it sucks, but it's just something you got to deal with. But considering the circumstances, I think Arsenal's in a great position right now. Really, really great position, man. So I want to go through a couple other things. We're going to be on here for about another 15 minutes. Not trying to make these too long, but Liverpool, man, lost three in a row. They lost to Crystal Palace on the road at Selhurst Park last weekend. They lost their Champions League game to a team I don't even want to begin to pronounce their name, because I'm going to mess it up. And then, of course, losing to Stamford Bridge on Sunday to Chelsea, the undermanned Chelsea team. They're reeling right now. And it's just funny how the narrative switches, because just a week ago before the Newcastle game, it was, if Arsenal loses this game, they're out of the title race. And, you know, Liverpool's going to run away with it. Can Liverpool be the invincible? Da-da-da-da-da. Now, a week later, everybody calling Arne Slot a ball fraud and, you know,
Florian Wirtz is the worst signing in British football history, and Alexander Isak is a small club merchant. Like, you're getting all these crazy takes. Well, as an Arsenal fan, I'm enjoying watching it because it's about time that somebody else gets the stupid stuff that we get from the media. But let's be real here. Liverpool's going to be fine. Liverpool's going to be more than fine. I think the biggest issue with them right now is they're just trying to incorporate all these players. Alexander Isak, I have zero worry about him. Zero. He held out the entire summer trying to get his move in Liverpool. He wasn't training. I don't think there's anything to worry about that at all. Florian Wirtz, I'm still very much on the fence about him. I don't think he's as bad as he's shown. But after a while, it's like, okay, you got to show something. He hasn't shown nothing. He don't got an assist. He ain't got a goal. He ain't got none of that. I think the biggest problem for Liverpool that's going to continue to be a problem is their defense. The defense stinks. They're going to give up two goals a game every week. It don't matter how many they score, they're going to give it up. It just is what it is. And I think it's going to be even easier to score on them with Alisson out for the next month. So I do believe this is going to be something where they'll be fine. And if you look at their upcoming fixtures, we're going to pull this up right now. I do know next week after international break, they go to Old Trafford. We all know Man United sucks. Man United ain't won two matches in a row in like 2 years. But that's one of the biggest rivalries, one of the biggest derbies in English football. So I think just off that and being in a place, well, actually not at Old Trafford. This is at Anfield. Changed that a little bit. But I still think it's going to be a tougher game that I still expect Liverpool to come on top of. So you got them. You got Brentford, which is a tough side. They've also got Villa. They're trash. They've been playing better, but they're trash. You got City. You got them. So, like, they got a lot of winnable matches here. But this is something where they have to get it on it right away, because if Arsenal goes on a run, then they might be in trouble. But this is not something where I will be – if you're Liverpool, you shouldn't be panicking. If you're Liverpool fan, you shouldn't be panicking right now, in my opinion. Definitely is upset. Everyone will lose three in a row if you're including the Champions League. But I know part of me as an Arsenal fan think that we finna go run away from this. And then no part of me thinks about that. Which leads me to the next thing. I do not think this is going to be a two-man race. I think we have a great chance of this being a three-man race. I am not ready to throw dirt on Man City yet. I believe Man City is kind of like the Golden State Warriors thing, where we're going to give them respect just because what they've done in the past, the coach they got, the players they've got. I know a lot of their players are washed now. Bernardo, he's washed. You know, John Stones can't defend the chair anymore. You've lost a lot of the key guys who were part of the treble-winning team. The other teams are not there no more. But you still have Erling Haaland, who is the best striker in the country, in England, by a large margin. I think the only strikers in world football who can even sit with him are Kylian Mbappe and Harry Kane. Which way you want to rank those three is whatever. I like Harry Kane. I do think he plays in the easiest league out of the three, by far. I think Bundesliga, they don't even try to play defense out there. But that's no disrespect to him, because he's putting numbers up in the Premier League. So it's not like it was just he played in the Bundesliga. No, that's not it. And Kylian Mbappe is not only the best striker, he's the best player in world football, in my opinion. He just makes everything look easy. And Erling Haaland does, too. When you got Erling Haaland and you got Pep, I don't know how long Pep is going to be there, but I just feel that this is a team you just cannot count on. And they had a nice win yesterday against Brentford. I'm just not ready to throw dirt on them. Now, they could fall to the wayside. I hope they fall to the wayside. I would much rather be being chased or chasing one team than two other teams. But I think they're going to be around. Now, the Rodri injury is going to be something to monitor for them as well. But I'm just not really ready to throw dirt on them yet. Let's talk about Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, man, they are fourth in the table right now. Sixth in the table right now, 12 points. Their 19-game unbeaten streak came to an end this weekend as they lost to – who did they lose to this weekend? Crystal Palace lost to Everton. Yeah, game-winning goal by Jack Grealish yesterday, which was a really good game. But they've been their real coach. Oliver Glasner might be the next Manchester United coach, but he's done with that team, winning them two trophies last year for the first time in their football club's history. If I wasn't rooting for a Big Six team, I would definitely be a Palace fan. Like, obviously, I don't root for Palace. I only root for one club. But that's a mid-table team that I like watching them. You know what I'm saying? I think they got a real, real good chance to make the Champions League this year. Granted, they don't actually get rid of Mark Gahey at the January window. I hope they don't. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Liverpool is going to circle back around because of, you know, they didn't get him the first time. And he's their captain. He's played this whole thing very classy. But if they decide to keep their players, if they add, I think they got a real good chance to be a Champions League team. Look at the teams they're going to be battling with, you know, Tottenham, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Everton, these other guys, like, they can stack up well. I think, obviously, Arsenal, Liverpool, City are shoe-ins for three of the first four, maybe five Champions League positions, because, you know, they're handing them joints out like hotcakes now. So I think that's my little hot take there, that they can make them. I'm going to wrap this episode up with my list of five league pass teams. Now, if you don't know what a league pass team is, so the NBA league pass team to me is like a team that's not, hold on, that's not a great team, not a championship contender, but they're a fun team to watch. And since they don't have a lot of national TV games, you really only get to see them on the NBA league pass. So, like, you know, that's what you leave, like the Sacramento Kings, like a league pass team. Maybe you like, you know, the Thunder used to be a league pass team before they became champions. So I'm going to put together my top five Premier League pass teams that I got. Number five coming, I got Leeds United. Now, reason I put Leeds on there is Leeds is a very fun team to watch, young team to watch, and their Premier League history, or is people who are long-term fans of sport, not like myself, that I can say, oh, this is true Barclays. When it was the Barclays Champions League, I mean, not Champions League, Premier League. They are there. They're an old iconic. I don't know if iconics were, but real history filled football club. I like their stadium. I like the fan base out there. Real dedicated. It's always loud when you watch them. So they're a nice little fun team. You know, they lost to Spurs this weekend. It's very, very entertaining game. So I'm gonna put them in number five. Number four, Everton. Everton's a fun team to watch. I like what Jack Grealish is doing over there. It's like he kind of rejuvenated. I don't know if he's a guy who, obviously, he won a lot of trophies when he was with Man City, but a lot of people say that maybe he's the team who he's like a big fish in a small pond, one of those type players. And he just kind of really rejuvenated that team. I love the passionate fan base. Moyes is one of the best coaches in the Premier League. And they're just a real fun watch. I'm going to put them at number four. Number three, I have a lot of love for this club, Sunderland. And that's because I watched the Sunderland Till I Die Netflix series and just how bad they were, the bad ownership they had, the bad managers they had, the entire shit show that they had to get to the championship. You know, they had dropped two leagues. To drop those two leagues and make it back to the Premier League, but actually get into the Premier League, spending money at the one of the top spenders last year, which is not likely for a small club, smaller club. You know, Stadium Light, one of the best grounds to watch something that love watching that crowd. So just from that show, I got emotional attachment to them. So I really like watching Sunderland. Number two, I'm going to go with Bournemouth. Bournemouth is one of those teams where, like, yeah, right now they're, like, third on the Premier League table. We all know they're not going to finish there. They're probably going to finish 10th, especially when Antoine Semenyo becomes a Arsenal player. And I do believe that he is on Andrea Bertz's watch list. Now, whether that happens in January or happens in July is anybody's guess. But this guy, like a lot of players, was an Arsenal fan growing up. He said in this interview that his favorite place to play is the Emirates, and he will not expand on why it's his favorite place to play, a.k.a. he was an Arsenal fan. He can play anywhere in the front line. He can play striker. He can play right wing. He can play left wing. We all know we have a deficit at left wing. We don't have an everyday left winger. You know, it's kind of a left wing by committee sometimes. Eze will play there. Trossard has played there a lot. Martinelli will play there sometimes. If you can get a guy who's just there, that would be good. But anyway, that team in general, well-coached, a team that is always in the fight, a team that if you're a team that's actually trying to win a title, You don't want to play this team. They gonna make your life a living hell. And that's just really why I love watching him. Antoine Semenyo, he's fast as hell. He's accurate with his strikes. He can hit from any side of the field. I just love watching him, and I just love watching the team. Number one, favorite league pass side is the team I was just talking about, Crystal Palace. Hey, man, love Crystal Palace. Love those fans. I love Oliver Glasley. He's a great coach. I like that stadium. And then not stadium, but ballpark. Y'all call it grounds in UK. Y'all always do shit that's like opposite from what we do, but regardless, I like Selhurst Park. And I also like I was a big Eze fan before he came over here, and I just love what he meant over there. And I love how they had like the pulse of South London, and I just really like they're a real fun team to watch, even without Eze, without the players that they've lost. And I think that what they've got over there is real fun to watch, man. So that concludes my soccer talk. We're going to have more of that on here. And then y'all can judge my knowledge of what y'all think in my talking nonsense when I really know what I'm talking about. I'm starting to really know what I'm talking about, man. But that is all I've got for y'all on this edition of the Scott Lewis Pod. I appreciate y'all for watching. I will be back next week. Of course, like I said, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you'll be getting this podcast each and every Monday. I'm going to record these right after I do. I'm not going to hold you. And then if you are not a subscriber, watch on YouTube each and every Tuesday, man. So follow me at BarChairScott and all social media platforms. All of the social links, all of the podcast platform links are in the description box. I'm going to holler at y'all next time, man. I'm up out of here.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.